take a stroll down the aisle. Dr. Flea's got treasures that'll make you smile. From trinkets to treasures, it's a shopper's dream. The best flea market you've ever seen. Oh, Dr. Flea's, where the deals come alive. International flair and the prices thrive. Come on down, don't you wait too long. Dr. Flea's is the place where you belong.
They say every mystery has a clue. Mine came wrapped in a trench coat and parked at the corner of Highway 27 and Albion Road. Next time you find yourself in Toronto, Canada, take a detour to Dr. Flea's International Flea Market. Open Saturdays and Sundays, 10 to 5, all year round. Over 400 vendors, one of the area's largest indoor farmers markets, and an international food court that'll knock your fedora off. Something for everyone and deals so good they ought to be illegal. Located at Highway 27 and Albion Road in Toronto, Canada. Visit drfleas.com, that's DRFLEAS.com, and grab your free flea dollars and start shopping today. Hamilton Radio Mystery Theater, where I dig up the dirt, is proud to be sponsored by Dr. Flea's International Flea Market, where the clues are free and the prices killer.
Don't touch that dial. You have arrived to the Hamilton Radio Mystery Theater, where murder and mystery lurk in the shadows.
Tonight on the Hamilton Radio Mystery Theater, it's time for another exciting adventure of Just in Case, Private Eye. Tonight's episode, Origins. Let's go back to a time when Justin was the top detective at the police department, and how corruption can affect everyone it touches. For some people, going to the movie theater can be a relaxing and enjoyable event, but not tonight for Tom Duncan. Coincidentally or not, the movie playing was called The Last Picture Show.
How many, sir?
Just one, please.
Any seat preference, sir?
Anywhere at all. That's fine.
Straight through the door, sir, into the lobby, and the usher will show you to your seat.
Excuse me, are you Tom Duncan?
Who the hell are you? And why are you wearing sunglasses in a movie theater, pal?
I got a message for you from Mr. Linguini.
No, no, no!
Table been in my hand. He set me up, took everything I had. A dead wife, a crooked frame. Now they whisper my name in the dark like a game. Forced to walk, but I ain't blind. One last case before I cross the line. A ledger buried, a name in red. One shot left and I'm aiming for the head. No badge, no rules, no time to run. This city's war has just begun. Took my life, now they count the cost. When justice falls, who pays the loss?
Hello, you know it's late. Tell him what? Okay. Mr. Linguini, I'm very sorry, sir, but there is an important call on your private line. A woman says she is Tom Duncan's widow.
Yes, this is Mr. Linguini. No, I am glad you called me Mrs. Duncan. I very much appreciate you telling me. Of course, we will get together very soon. But for now, I suggest you cooperate with the police. Sal, get Guido on the phone now.
Mr. Linguini wants Guido Rigatoni.
He's busy playing cards.
Salvatore, give me that phone. This is not a social call, Frida. Tell Guido I want him right away.
Oh, sure, Mr. Linguini. I always like to tell Guido you're calling. I like to see how high he can jump.
Guido, it's the boss.
Why don't you shut the door and see if anybody needs a drink?
Whatever.
Hey, boss, what's the news?
I got a call on my private line from Mrs. Duncan.
Boy, she didn't waste any time calling you.
It doesn't matter now. She is a widow now.
Oh, really? Word sure travels fast in this town.
I do not need anyone poking around in my business. Find out the details, take care of this.
Yeah, boss. I got this. Nice and neat. No loose ends.
Justin's investigation into the murder of a fellow cop would start at Tom Duncan's home with an interview with his widow, Jerry Duncan.
I'm Detective Justin Case from Homicide. Sorry we have to meet under these circumstances.
Too bad you had to make the trip out from headquarters, Detective. I was just heading that way.
When a cop gets killed, they want a full report.
Detective Case, let us finish our conversation inside. Did you know my husband?
Just to say hello to in passing at the precinct.
He was in charge of the police record department. You know I would joke with him about having the safest job. And now this.
I am very sorry for your loss, Mrs. Duncan.
Jerry, you can call me Jerry. Less formal, especially now.
Wait, so you were Tom and Jerry? Interesting.
You could say we were a cat and mouse team.
Can you think of any reason anyone would want your husband dead?
Everything Tom ever did was clean and wholesome. That's the kind of man he was.
So nothing suspicious or out of the ordinary comes to mind.
Let me think. The couple days he seemed anxious and nervous, but I thought it was because he had just given up smoking.
You've been most helpful. Now look, if there's anything you need, anything at all, you get in touch with us.
Thank you, Justin.
Goodbye, Mrs. Duncan. I mean, Jerry. Nice lady, but I got a feeling she isn't telling me everything she knows. Tom and Jerry? Wonder. If the cat's away, the mouse will play. Need to dig a little deeper.
It had been a long day, but Justin was used to days like that. When he got home, he sat down at the kitchen table to review his files while his wife, Sue, was making dinner.
What's with dinner? How about putting that file down and helping?
All right, Sue, what is that? Steak?
Medium rare.
How do you manage steaks on my salary? You know, the boys downtown, they just don't believe me.
Tell them you married an heiress.
With our property taxes going up next year, you're gonna have to kiss the steaks goodbye.
Unless you become police commissioner in the meantime.
Sure, that's inevitable.
Grab us a couple of cold ones from the fridge, darling.
Hang on, Sue. Let me answer that. It must be Marty. I told him to come over if they found anything out about our mystery shooter.
Fine. I will just put our dinner in the oven to stay warm.
Sue, you are the best. Hey, Marty. So what did the white coats come up with?
Nothing yet. But that's not why I'm here.
So spill the beans, Marty.
A call came in downtown to your desk. And, well, I picked it up.
Don't look so worried, Marty. Lots of people pick up my phone when I'm not around.
Well, Justin, this time I wish it wasn't me.
Why? What did the caller have to say?
It was a warning to you. They said, if you want to stay alive, to mind your own business, as some big people are becoming annoyed.
Sue, keep dinner warm. I need to go downtown. Be back later. Don't wait up. Come on, Marty. Let's go see what's going on.
But Justin, you don't even know who called.
No. This is just another part of the scheme to make me crawl back into my shell. I don't know who called, but I know where to go to find out.
Justin, if that idea is at the club, you might want to look up Lola Cuffs.
Lola Cuffs? Who the hell is that?
Well, I have been snooping around, and rumor has it that old Tommy Boy had a mistress on the side.
Sounds like our dead compadre is not only a sweet, nice husband, but leads a second life as a Casanova.
Marty and Justin stepped out into the night, splitting like smoke in a crosswind. Marty headed back to the precinct to push papers, and Justin had a date with a mystery dame in a jazz club. Never meeting her didn't stop him.
Hello, detective. The usual. Martini? Shaken, not stirred.
Hey, Marshall. Not tonight, pal. Maybe you can help me. Looking to find Lola Cuffs.
look in the dining room for that gorgeous auburn red-headed broad.
Thanks, pal. Let's just keep this between the two of us.
Sure thing, Justin. Anytime.
Lola cuffs, I presume.
Depends. Who's asking?
Detective Justin Case, homicide.
Pretty swank for a detective, Mr. Case.
Might be true, but don't let my wife hear that.
She ain't got anything to worry about.
No, she doesn't. But you do, Lola.
Wait a second. Here I thought this was going to be a social call.
Only thing social about this call is your involvement with Tom Duncan.
Tommy, what about Tommy?
Well, sweetheart, old Tommy boy is dead.
What?
Shot in the back at the Roxy Theater.
I can't believe it. He was a wonderful guy.
How'd you get to know Duncan?
Well, I met him about a year ago. He used to come to the club. At first, we'd just talk, and he told me how his wife travels a lot for her charity work. Sometimes, when she was away, I used to go to their house. We'd go swimming and lie around in the sun having drinks and laughs, you know, right?
That sounds very cozy.
Oh, it wasn't that way, Detective.
Oh, sure. I bet.
Please, you gotta believe that. You gotta understand how things were with Tommy. How he was caught up between the two of us. Between me and that leech he is married to.
What's your pitch, Lola? Going for a shakedown?
Shakedown? Me?
Sure. I understand. Your Tommy gives you the I'll leave my wife story. Then you discover he is lying to you, and you blackmail him that you will spill the beans to his wife.
Wow. What a vivid imagination you have, Detective, even when the truth is staring you in the face.
Okay, sweetheart. Enlighten me.
I think Jerry had found out we were secretly meeting and that Tommy was planning on leaving her.
Interesting theory. So you are saying that I should be thinking of her as the old routine, if I can't have him, nobody will. All right, Lola. For now, stay close. I might have some questions for you.
I'm not going anywhere. I want to know who killed my Tommy boy and why.
Looks like Justin is headed back to Jerry Duncan's place, and perhaps he has found the missing link to this murder.
So many layers to this mystery. Hope Jerry is home.
Hello, Detective. Do you have any news on my husband's death?
Not just yet. Still gathering all the facts, ma'am.
Well then, Detective, what do I owe the pleasure of this visit to?
Just paid a visit to Lola Cuffs. She had an interesting theory.
Oh, really? I can just imagine what that two-bit hussy had to say.
Hang on there, Jerry. Let's keep this civil. She's telling me that you knew about Tom and her, and that Tom was getting ready to leave you.
She is a liar. Tom would never want a divorce. He was a well-kept man. I inherited a lot of money from my late father's estate. We were very well off, and if Tom ever left, he would be penniless. Do you think he could survive on a policeman's salary?
Aha. Sounds like you and Tom had some sort of arrangement.
Detective, I have no desire to air my family's dirty laundry in public. Besides, in the 30 years we've been married, there have been 4 Lola cuffs that I found out about. Tom was vain. He had to prove to himself that he was still attractive to women.
Sounds like a player to me.
If you truly want to solve this case, and my late husband's good name, then I suggest you stop wasting your time and look elsewhere.
All right then, Mrs. Duncan. Good day. My gut tells me I might be chasing the wrong dames. Damn it!
As Justin left Mrs. Duncan's home, he was trying to make sense if the information he was learning was true or false. He jumped back in his car, headed to headquarters, hoping Marty had something new on this case.
Looks like old Tommy was quite the lover boy. Not sure these two dames have anything to do with his murder. Something is just off, and I can't get my brain wrapped around this just yet. Maybe Marty has turned up something. I'll just park the car and head upstairs to the squad room. Tell me, Marty, so what's the latest? Do we have anything new on this case yet?
Still working on some leads, but we now have another homicide.
Just great. Trying to solve one murdered cop isn't enough. Where this time?
Jackie Gleason Park.
Oh, how sweet it is. Sue loves that park. She likes taking long walks and sit under the biggest elm tree she can find.
You better head down there. You never know, it might be related to this case.
Sure. Just going to call Sue. Let her know it's going to be another long day. Busy signal. Why am I not surprised? She must be talking to her mother again. Guess I'll call later.
Justin couldn't reach his wife, Sue, to let her know not to expect him home until very late. He headed to Gleason Park to see what was up on a new murder case. Not just any case, a case so brutal, it would make any tough man cry.
Oh, hello, Detective Case.
What do we got here, rookie?
I'm not sure why they assigned you to this case, Detective. Unless they never got my message.
Right. Whatever. So what do we know? Male? Female? Age? How they were killed? Any witnesses? Leads? You know the drill, rookie.
Female, approximately 30 years old. 5'4", shoulder length, light brown hair, brown eyes.
How was she murdered?
Throat slashed brutally.
Sounds like someone is sending a message.
Sir, they are...
Really, rookie? If you got an idea, let's have it.
Well, sir, that Jane Doe was no Jane Doe.
Okay, then who was she?
Your wife.
What?
Men like Justin find it hard to connect with their emotions. But when a tragic, life-changing event occurs, things can change in an instant. Justin took a long walk in the park and then settled down on the bench at Sue's spot under her favorite tree she loved so much.
Can't believe it, she's gone. It's all my fault if I only would have listened. That son of a bitch Vito Lagweenie is behind this, I guarantee it. I need a drink before I do something I might regret.
Justin was very shook up over his wife's murder, so much so that he could only see blood in his eyes. He wanted revenge, but couldn't show his real emotions. He wanted to bury his sorrow deep in the bottom of a bottle. But first, he needed to do something more important. Visit the morgue to claim his wife's body and then make funeral arrangements. It was going to be a very sad day for Justin.
I'd been here more times than I could count. Never meant a damn thing. But tonight, the air was colder, heavier. 'Cause this time, the stiff on the slab wasn't just another name in a file. This time, it was someone I loved.
Oh, hello, Detective Case. I am sorry about your wife. Suppose you are here to claim her body. Oh my, I mean to claim her. No, not her. I mean Sue. No, I mean Mrs.
Relax, Doc. She's dead. I don't think she'd mind what you called her now. So tell me, what more can you tell me about my wife's cause of death?
Well, it would appear that her attacker came up from behind, grabbed her mouth, and with one swoop slit her throat from ear to ear. It would have happened so fast she never knew what happened. Brutal. Very, very brutal.
All right, Doc. That will be enough. Justin, you know the rules. Family members are barred from any case where they may have an involvement. Don't worry, Justin. I picked up the case and I am handling it all. I know how tough this is for you.
Marty, I just didn't lose my wife. I lost my best friend. On top of it, it's not like she was sick or something. No, she was snubbed out like a used-up cigarette and flicked off in the park. Okay, I need to get my head straight. I have arrangements that need to be made.
Justin, I spoke to Betty Davis in the personnel department. She is taking care of all the arrangements. You just need to sign for Sue and leave the rest to us. Once we have the date for the funeral, I will let you know. Now, Justin, go home. You need a break.
Marty, I don't know what to say.
How about see you later?
Justin signed all the legal papers and left the morgue. He had never realized what a great friend Marty was and it took a catastrophe to find out. But he wasn't ready to head home just yet. He was still grieving his loss. He headed over to the club for a drink or two or three. Get the picture?
Justin, I just don't know what to...
Forget about it, kid. How about another double?
Don't you think you've had enough to drink?
When is enough? Enough. When the fat lady sings, well, looks like she sang her last song with me.
Listen, kid. Do you think you're the only one to lose someone you love? Someone that means more to you than life itself?
Go on. I'm listening.
When my wife died of SCD, systemic collapse disorder, every organ simultaneously decides it's done. But Justin, you're not done. You still can live and keep her memory in your heart.
Marty, you're right. To preserve her memory, I need to find her killer and make this right.
Justin, I don't like that look.
I think it's time to pay Mr. Vito Linguini a visit.
Drowning your sorrow with too much alcohol comes with a price, especially when followed with a late-night snack at a cheap taco stand. It cost Justin the shirt off his back. But that wasn't the highlight of the evening. Marty had a surprise for Justin.
Glad you had an extra shirt in your trunk.
After you tossed your cookies all over yourself. Hope that taught you a lesson about tequila.
And that awful taco stand?
Justin, while you were out, someone delivered a letter to your office.
Well, where is it?
Open the overhead box.
Marty, you are not going to believe this, but it's from Frida.
Frida leave?
I would, but you're driving a moving car.
So what does it say?
Justin, I've had enough of Guido. Maybe we can help each other. I overheard about a ledger Mrs. Duncan is hiding, and I have information on that murdered cop. Meet me at the club at 10 p.m.
Ledger? Holy crap! I bet that's the ledger, showing who's getting payoffs in this corrupt city of ours.
Marty, turn the car around. We ain't going to the office. Head to old Lady Duncan's place now. I'll bet you shit. To Shinola, there's more to this than that.
Justin was onto something that involved Guido's girl, Frida Leave, but he still had some questions for Mrs. Duncan. He had Marty turn around and head to her house first, since it was on the way to his place, where he would freshen up from his early encounter with Jose Cuervo.
Wait here, this won't take long.
I'll be right here if you need me.
Hello, detective. Awful late. Unless this is a social call.
No, Mrs. Duncan, there is nothing social about this call.
Well, funny detective. From your clothing, I couldn't tell if you were on the prowl or out trying to catch a bear.
Only thing I am trying to catch is a break on your husband's case.
Detective, I have told you all I know.
I'm going out on the ledge here that there is something else you're hiding.
You know, don't you?
About the ledger? Oh, yeah. So tell me where it is. Hand it over.
Listen, detective. It's my only insurance policy that Vito doesn't do the same to me as he did my husband.
Wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me that Vito Linguini had your husband killed? Why?
Tom had gotten an anonymous tip, and he followed it, which led him to the ledger. He had built a case that would take down Vito's complete operation. He was set to meet the chief the day he was killed to give him the files.
And the ledger, too?
Oh, no. Tom didn't trust anyone. He said that I would be shocked by the payoff list in the ledger.
All right, then. Where is the ledger?
I hid it in an old warehouse I own, down by the docks. It's hidden in a small red crate.
Jerry, my partner Marty is outside in the car. I think it's best you go with him for your own safety until this is over.
Thank you, Detective. The sooner this is over, the sooner I can go back to properly grieving for my husband.
Yeah, I get it. I get it too well. Marty, take Mrs. Duncan to the safe house for now. I'll explain later. Don't worry about me. I'm going to grab a cab.
Where are you going?
First to my place to get a decent shirt, then it's free to leave time, Marty. Free to leave.
Justin got all the information he needed. Now things were starting to fall into place. Next stop, Justin's place, then to meet Frida Leave. Seems like all the pieces are beginning to fit into place. Or are they? To be continued, join us next week for the conclusion of Justin Case, Private Detective Origins Part 2. You've been listening to Justin Case, Origins, presented by the Hamilton Radio Mystery Theater, starring Justin Case as himself, all of you as Sue Case, Mike Eit as Tom Duncan, Anita Bath as Jerry Duncan, Minnie Van as Lola Cuffs, Rhea Alice Tate as the bartender G-Man, Sal Ami as Guido Risotto, Lois Price as Frida Leave, Rusty Hinges as Police Chief, Macaroni as Vito Linguini, Cole Cutts as Vito's bodyguard, Ben Dover as the British henchman, Hal Apeño as Detective Marty Pants, Crystal Clear as Rookie Cop, Candy Kane as Ticket Attendant, Anita Story as News Report, and I am your narrator, Frank Lee speaking. Our original theme music was created by Stevie T. Tonight's episode was written by Steve Tobis, creative consultant Marshall Cohen, and produced by Tobis Studio Productions.
Please tune in next week as we delve into another exciting story from the files of Justin Case, Private Eye.
I'll see you all next week for Justin Case, Private Eye, for the conclusion of Origins Part 2. Thought I had it figured. Thought wrong. 'Cause in this game, there's always someone waiting to twist the knife and the story. Justin Case here. I would love to hear how you enjoyed tonight's story. So why not email me at justincasestories@gmail.com. That's JustinCaseStories.com. And I promise I'll write you back as soon as I solve the next mystery murder.
This presentation is protected by U.S. and international copyright laws. Reproduction and distribution of this presentation without the written permission of the sponsor or creator are prohibited. Copyright 2025. Tobis Studio Productions.
You've been listening to the Hamilton Radio Mystery Theater, and while the mystery may be over, your adventure is just beginning. Come explore Dr. Flea's International Flea Market, Toronto's weekend hotspot with over 400 vendors, delicious eats, a massive indoor farmers market, and global treasures. Located at Highway 27 and Albion Road, open every Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 5. Rain or shine. And visit drflees.com. That's drflees.com. And don't forget to grab your free flea dollars today.